Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Somnath Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Daitya Sudan Bhagavan Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari 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 Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarne. You may not have understood what I said. Daitya Sudan. It's a name of Vishnu. Name of a Swayam Prakat Vishnu form who resides here in Somnath. Somnath Kenath. How do you say that in Sanskrit? Somnathasya Nata. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Actually, in Sanskrit, you'd have to say Somanatha, not dropping the A. So, please give me that laptop. Is that going to be possible? Otherwise, you can read it out. It's a short purport. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, Chapter 2, Text 117. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You want to take the mic so he gets the recording? Just read the translation, don't bother with the...
Translation. The Lord replied, I cannot tolerate seeing the face of a person who has accepted the renounced order of life, but who still talks intimately with a woman. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that saralata or simplicity is the first qualification of a Vaishnava, whereas duplicity or cunning behavior is a great offense against the principles of devotional service. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, one must gradually become disgusted with material attachment and thus become more and more attached to the service of the Lord. If one is not factually detached from material activities but still proclaims himself advanced in devotional service, he is cheating. No one will be happy to see such behavior.
You may wonder why I chose to spoke on this particular verse. It is a particularly intense section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita is intense all the way through, because pure devotion means intense. But this is a very stern section where Chota Haridas, not to be confused with Haridas Thakur, is being rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his what might seem to be negligible offense, or not even an offense at all, of speaking with a woman, even though he's in the renounced order of life. But actually, I don't particularly want to speak on this subject, but on the word saralata, which comes in the purport here. Simplicity. The simplicity, I wanted to speak on this topic of simplicity as we will be discussing today about the challenge of simple living and high thinking. In the very complex age that we live in, it's a great challenge to be simple. You would think that the challenge would be to be complex, but in the modern age the big challenge is to be simple. To be simple would seem to be simple, but in the modern age, to be complex is also, it's not simple. Are you going to chant your japa, or are you going to listen to the class? Now, when we talk about simple living and high thinking, which seems to have... It's not something that Srila Prabhupada originally spoke about. It's common in, if you see other Indian people, of course Prabhupada's not exactly Indian, but it's common in the parlance in India. I don't, maybe it could be research, maybe Gandhi, well even it's a pristine idea. Probably as soon as man started to make things complicated, which means beginning with the Treta Yuga, I would think, then this idea came up. Actually, that did come up, because that stayed in the Mahabharata, that just before I say this, I'll just give this idea that if we were to see a Vedic village of brahmanas in the forest, we would say that's really first class, isn't it? That's really high culture. But when this was begun in the beginning of Treta Yuga, the people all started to live together instead of just being individuals here and there in the forest. Then the rishis, they started complaining. What is this? This is a fall down. Now there has to be some social arrangement. And then there's bringing things, taking things. It's too complex. Just you're supposed to live in the jungle individually and accept whatever comes by Krishna's arrangement. So gradually there's fall down. If we think that... We might think of Varanasi, how many years ago? That would be about 600 years ago. It must have been very cultured compared to now. But when Vedanta Deshika, the great acharya of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, based in Kanchipuram in South India, when he went there, he complained, oh, the culture is so fallen. If we went there, we'd think it's like heaven. So it's a gradual fall down. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam socham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nang shantyayor balang smritihi. Please don't chant japa here. If you like to chant japa, please go somewhere else. Otherwise, please lend your ears. So this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam describing in a nutshell how everything good declines in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, day by day, dharma declines, truthfulness declines, cleanliness declines, tolerance declines, compassion declines, bodily strength declines, mental strength declines, the lifespan declines. So everything is on the decline. And we take it as normal in the modern age to live in a very complex society in which no one is happy, but everyone thinks that the solution is to become more complicated. If I get more things, I'll be more happy. Now, the use of the word, the English word simplicity, is translated here from saralata. But the word simplicity has more than one meaning, or rather it's nuanced. It means there are subtle differences in the usage. Here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is speaking about mental simplicity, lack of duplicity, nishkapat. It's an important word that we'll find used often in the writings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. to be free of duplicity. That means to be, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said, to be outside. A Vaishnava is someone who is outside and inside the same. It's not that he's behaving in a certain way or speaking in a certain way, but he has some hidden motive. He doesn't have a what's called a persona. There's an English word, persona, which comes from the Greek, which means a mask. He's not showing himself to be something which he's not. He's inside and outside the same. Whereas someone who has a cheating mentality, that's also duplicity, the opposite of saralata. Someone who has a cheating mentality, then they may talk to you very nicely, but their aim is to win your trust and then cheat you. Now you think you can cheat this person? Okay, I'll give him $100,000 for investment or something like this, and then you never see him again. For instance, there are so many different ways of cheating. We're not going to have a class in cheating here. So that's a symptom of Kali Yuga. Satyam declines day by day. Truthfulness. Now another... So a Vaishnava should not be duplicitous. The example is given here, or rather it's in commentary on the Chota Haridas, who was a renunciant, which means the first and most obvious symptom of a renunciant. Renunciant goes by the words tyagi, vairagi, sannyasi, particularly one who has formally renounced the world is known as a sannyasi. One can be a tyagi and a vairagi as a grihastha also. But generally this term refers to someone who is detached from the world for the sake of spiritual advancement. So the first and most prominent duty or symptom of such a person is non-interaction with women. So Chota Haridas was, the story is that he had invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take bhiksha, which means his midday meal, at his residence, at Chota Haridas's residence, or whatever. He had made some arrangement, maybe. And he had heard that the best rice, uncooked rice, is available with Madhavi Devi, who was a tyagini. She was elderly, she was recognized as a great devotee. So Chota Haridas, although normally he wouldn't go to see any woman, he went and begged rice from her. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out about this, he rejected Haridas because he's supposed to be a renunciant, but he's having some interaction with women. So the society was so strict at that time that it's practically impossible at the present day. What's the next verse after that? Durba Indriya Kare. What is it? That's one verse. Durba Indriya Kare Vishay Grahan. Dara Prakriti Hare Munerapiman. It's an interesting statement. Munerapi. It's Sanskrit word gets used in Bengali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the senses are so strong to pull away the mind that even the wooden form of a woman can attract the mind even of someone who has renounced this world. And Srila Prabhupada commenting on this, not in this purport, I think, but while speaking verbally, he said, just like in the shop windows in the Western countries, and now in India also, you see mannequins, means the form of a man or a woman which is shown to exhibit clothing, fashions like this. So Srila Prabhupada said that even that can attract the mind. You may say, well, how is that possible? It's just some wooden form, but just the impression, the idea. Because the mind makes association with the duplicate form. When the mind makes the association with the original form on which it's founded. Everyone, please turn off your cell phones if you have not already done so. It broke my train of thought. I just spoken about the duplicate form, but what I was going to say after that, I lost it. Please turn off your cell phone. It is disturbing. So anyway, I'll say something else because I can't remember what I was going to say. So that's one kind of duplicity. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that a sannyasi should not have anything to do with women, because then the mind will be taken away. That danger is there. So if one is outwardly renounced but inwardly thinking of enjoying this world, then that is duplicity. And that will block one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, simple living and high thinking means it's a different kind of simplicity or another manifestation, that one lives with what is needed for bodily maintenance and doesn't endeavor for more. For the sake of spiritual advancement. It's conducive to spiritual advancement in as much as saves time for spiritual advancement. Instead of endeavoring to get more and more and more and more, one is content with whatever comes. Yadricha labha santushto. That's why I said that the rishis in the forest, they were scandalized when some of the rishis got together and made some arrangement for living. Because in the forest you just depend whatever comes of its own accord. So that's one reason. Another reason is that one becomes, if one has more than one needs, then one becomes unnecessarily attached to it. Attached to having things which one doesn't need for the sake of sense gratification. And in this purport of the verse that we read today, Srila Prabhupada pointed that out, that the more one is materially attached, the more that blocks one's spiritual advancement. So the two are related, but they're different aspects of simplicity. Simplicity, is a mental state and a physical state. The mental state means that we are, simplicity, straightforwardness means that we are free from extraneous desires, free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, free from all material attachments. Then someone can be simple. Otherwise, in this modern world where everyone is duplicitous, everyone is playing some game with others to try to get the most out of them, then it's not possible to have a simple mentality, free, just ordinary dealings. become full of duplicity. That's stated also in the Bhagavatam. What's that? I can't remember. Anyone remember? It's stated in the 12th canto and in the 1st canto also. Jusham praya vyavahara, that this Yudhishthira Maharaj noticed that even ordinary dealings were becoming full of duplicity. So this means Kali Yuga has come. So that clear consciousness, where one, if you say to someone in Hindi, "Tumse mujhe kuch lena dena nahi hai," means you have nothing. I have nothing to take from you. Nothing to. I have nothing to do with you. I have no interest in you. But that's actually the state of simplicity, where you're neither trying to extract anything from anyone, nor are you trying to give anything to anyone. You're just neutral with everyone. Actually, a pure devotee wants to give Krishna consciousness, but materially, they're neither interested in getting anything from anyone, nor posing themselves as a great benefactor of others. Yes, I will give you this, I will give you that, I will arrange hospitals, schools, food. They're not interested. They're aloof from all these things. And living simply physically, that first of all, one has to have to even live simply physically means that one has to have at least, if one is not fully free from material desires, means one has a very strong commitment to be free from material desires. Otherwise, who will live simply? So it's very helpful to be free of the mental duplicity that is the blockage or the antithesis to becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. It's very helpful to adopt physical simplicity, simple living and high thinking. Srila Prabhupada also often said plain living and high thinking. It's the same thing. Plain living in and of itself is not spiritual. There are plenty of poor people in the world who are struggling for existence physically, but it doesn't in and of itself make one spiritually advanced. Spiritual advancement comes, particularly Krishna consciousness. There are various schools of spiritual advancement. But Krishna consciousness that comes, bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Bhakti comes from bhakti. And bhakti comes from bhaktas. So, by association with devotees, one gets bhakti. So, better too, if one is receptive, to receive it. So, even if one is living in opulence, but one is committed to associate with devotees, then he can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. But if one is living simply and does not associate with devotees, can't make any advancement, generally speaking. But so he may say, well, it doesn't matter whether you live simply or opulently, but although that is in one sense true, on the other hand, as long as we're interested in material opulence and consider it to be something valuable, then that in itself means that we're not properly situated to even begin to advance in Krishna consciousness. Bhoga Ishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Parhita Chetasam Vyavasayatvaka Buddhir Ekehana Kurunandana. One who is interested in material opulence, they cannot, they don't get the fixed determination which is required for spiritual advancement. Now we may say, well, most people they're not living a very opulent life. Most people, what do you need to live? I don't need to go to the village to live or join a Krishna conscious farm community to be simple, because I'm living in the city, but I only have the minimum. I'd like to have much more, but I'm living in some ramshackle pin shack and we have a TV, but that's just normal. A TV, cell phone, and that's just normal. Everyone has that. I'm living, if you go to in the slums, you find someone's living in the slum, they have a TV, they have cell phone, they maybe have an internet connection and a computer. And they say, well, it's that simple. I'm living very simply. Everyone will say, we're living very simply. But this unnecessary accumulation of unnecessary things, stuff, that even though people think living simply means to have very little of these modern things, they're all anarthas. They're intrinsically anarthas, or that which is an obstacle to our desired goal. Although they can be used in Krishna service, but mostly they're not. So it is a big challenge to be simple, both mentally and even physically. Even we see devotees, in many cases, grihasthas, their homes are filled with all kinds of things which are completely useless. And they have cupboards full of things that they've bought, and they toys for their kids or this or that, and they buy it and they stick it in the cupboard. And once a year, just now we're in Tamil Nadu, this and Pongal, they clean out all the unwanted stuff and burn it. And you'll see in many cities, in the West, in Japan, people they put outside their house furniture and tea, all kinds of things. Just clean it out. Get rid of it. And then again by the next year it's all filled up again. Because the consumer society requires people to buy all kinds of things that they don't need. So it is a big challenge to be simple. The mind is not simple. The world is not simple. People around us are not simple. So how are we going to be simple? It is said, there is a one of those Prabhupada says, maybe you could search through the Veda base and find out if there's such a thing. I'm not aware of it. But Srila Prabhupada often said that Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's very simple in as much as you don't have to perform difficult austerities, you don't have to bring much paraphernalia with much expense to perform yajnas or to do complex deity worship. It's very simple. All you need is a mouse and you can chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is very simple. So one devotee said to Prabhupada, "But Prabhupada, you always say that Krishna consciousness is very simple, but it seems to me it's not very simple." And reportedly Prabhupada said, "Yes, I said it was simple, but I didn't say it was easy." The two words are often used synonymously. The process is simple, but to do it properly, it's not so easy. Just like you might see a dancer. In the Western countries, they have this ballet dancing. That comes to my mind. But they have so many movements. Actually, it looks very simple, the way they do it. Ballet dancing is very graceful. It's supposed to be very graceful. It can be very active, but it's very graceful. So it looks very easy, but to be able to do that, they have to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. They jump in the air and land on the tips of their toes and spin around. The way they do it, it makes it seem very easy. Or you may say playing a violin is very easy. All you have to do is move the bow. But to do it, it's easy. Anyone can do it. Pick up a violin and... But to do it properly requires much practice and training. And not everyone has the inclination, and even among those who have the inclination, not everyone has the same ability. Now in Krishna consciousness, everyone has the same possibility to take to it. But we come to Krishna consciousness with, we all come with our different accumulated anarthas. So some people may be better candidates and others may be worse candidates, and some are hardly candidates at all for Krishna consciousness. Some people are just Matiana Krishna Paratasvato Vamitobi Padyeta Griha Vratana Madanta Gobhi Vishatanta Mishram Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam. There are some people who are committed to go to hell and chew the chewed and enjoy their senses. And they're committed that no way, under no circumstances, at any time or any condition, am I going to be Krishna conscious. So some people, they're not very good candidates for Krishna consciousness. Although theoretically they can take to Krishna consciousness, and by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can also take to Krishna consciousness, but they're tough cases. Now, one thing I often used to hear in the early days of this movement, maybe it came from Srila Prabhupada, probably, because many of the things that we used to hear in the early days did come from Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the complex. So if we're simple means to simply accept. Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita says, okay, we accept it. And complicated means we bring so many objections. That, well, why should we rise early in the morning? What's the difference? It's all the same. You can get up later. Why should we chant 16? At every step you can make objections. But if we have faith, yes, we accept it. Of course, that to be too simple, another meaning of the word simple, is foolish. So to be simple in the sense of naive, you just accept what anyone says, then you can be easily cheated. So to be too, one should be simple but not foolish. One should be simple but intelligent, not to be cheated. But we should not be over-intelligent. Over-intelligent means that we deploy our intelligence to act against our own self-interest by maintaining an interest separate from that of Krishna. So to be simple mentally requires purification. It means vyavasayatmika buddhi this aikya, the unity of consciousness between us and Krishna. In other words, we just do what Krishna wants us to do. Chitete korea aikya. Guru mokha padma vaikya chitete korea aikya. We throw out material desires. But it's not so easy. The desire to throw out material desires is required, but it seems to be more difficult. Therefore, we have to work on it. That means the process of devotional service is working on our anarthas, anartha nivritti, becoming free from everything that militates against our being Krishna conscious. And then there is artha pravritti, entering into or developing that which is our actual self-interest, which is pure Krishna consciousness. And physically to remain simple is difficult also. In a complex world, in a consumer society, in India, it's used to be very much that to have a car is considered something very prestigious and something very useful, so you don't have to get on the bus and if you want to go from place to place. But in the Western countries, it's considered a necessity. And increasingly, it's going to become like that here also. Especially in Los Angeles, where there's no train system or proper bus service. So if you want to go anywhere, you have to have a car. So that is, it becomes a necessity. So modern life increases our necessities. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport about lipstick. People have made so many so-called necessities. Lipstick, I can't remember exactly what's in the list, but even soap he mentions. You might think, well, that's a necessity. But no, even toothpaste, it's not a necessity. Electric lights, it's not a necessity. So there are, just to be simple, I mean, if even these things, which we think are the basic necessities of modern life, if even these are unnecessary, then what to speak of cell phones and TVs and newspapers and on and on and on and on. So it's, we have to work on being simple. Instead of accumulating junk and throwing it out once a year, just don't accumulate it. Or you can be a brahmachari. That's one way, because it generally in family life people accumulate so many unnecessary things. But if you can't stay a brahmachari, then you get married, and the brahmachari finds that, oh, how complex life is. It's so much more complicated. But if he's had that training, then he can come out after 25 years or so and return to live simply. So brahmachari life is especially meant to live very simply. There's nothing to do but serve Krishna. You may say, well, are the grihasthas doomed? Can they not live simply? In the modern world, it's very difficult. But there is a program for that, and that's the Simple Living, High Thinking Farm Projects, where grihasthas can also live simply. They don't have to go to work and interact with materialistic people and have to live up to materialistic people's idea of status and prestige. They can live very simply with the minimum physical requirements. So everyone can live simply. Of course, even a grihastha living on a farm will live more in a more of a complex way than, well, maybe not. Maybe the brahmachari in the city is more complicated than the grihastha on the farm. Probably in terms of having a cell phone and a laptop and all this kind of thing. But this is a facility to help us to live simply, which the materialistic people think is ridiculous. Because the whole purpose of life, as far as they're concerned, is to accumulate more and more nonsense. So they don't think it's nonsense. They think this is the purpose of life, to accumulate more and more goods. But devotees have a completely different idea. We don't want all that. We want Krishna. Yanisha sarva bhutanam yasyang jagrati sangyam. What is the next line? Tasyang yasyang bhutani yanisha pashyato munehe. They would say, it's a completely different outlook, the devotees. So, of course, even in the farm community, Maya is there. She doesn't retire. She takes a battering. She's living very nicely in the cities with all the materialistic people. She has an easy job in the cities. It's all going on pilot. The materialists encourage each other to be more and more materialistic. And of course, she's also active, making people more and more degraded. But the Krishna conscious farm community is a protest against, a revolution against materialistic society. That we don't depend on your factories and your lipstick and your soap and your oil. We depend on Krishna, what Krishna has given us. So Maya is always trying to bring in her complications, make everything very complicated. If we want to enjoy this world, we have to become complex. If we don't want to enjoy this world, we can be very simple. physically and mentally. But if you want to enjoy this world, then you have to bring money and all of it. Immediately there's complexity. Even if you have inherited money, to manage it so that someone doesn't cheat you, it's also complex. Money means anxiety. So much anxiety. As soon as you have it, you get so much anxiety. So I also get so much money, but I don't keep it. As soon as I get it, give it away. Let someone spend it for Krishna. Don't keep it. Only as much as we might need. Well, as much as we might need is unlimited. As much as we do need. Even Srila Prabhupada, his preaching policies, they're very simple. Going out in the streets, chanting Hare Krishna, distributing books. Of course, some organization is required to print the book. But basically, when you get the book and you go out and you sell it. And building temples, they're very straightforward. Nowadays we have so many different ideas how to preach. But Prabhupada's preaching policies were very straightforward. And if we take part in them also, it's very simple. Going out and distributing books. Actually, to distribute books, you have to kick out of your mind all the nonsense. Otherwise, you can't do it at all. If there's any nonsense in the mind of how to enjoy this world, you can't distribute books at all. One has to be in pure consciousness to do it. You might be able to distribute one or two if you are in bad consciousness, but basically, people won't respond unless we're getting the spiritual energy coming through us, which brings people momentarily to a higher platform, and then they desire to take the book. So we, in that way, we link with this spiritual energy. But that's supposed to be there all the time, not just when we distribute books. We get jumped up to a higher level. But even to do book distribution, then one has to have a certain mindset, and one has to perform one's sadhana very clearly, very nicely. It takes spiritual energy. Otherwise, we can neither be in Krishna consciousness nor convince anyone else to make that first step of taking a book. So Srila Prabhupada's formula, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's a very simple formula. But we can't do it unless we're simple. Otherwise, if we become complex, we're not going to be happy. If we have so many anxieties in our mind, this, of course, a devotee has anxieties how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to bring others to Krishna consciousness. Interacting with this material world in the modern age, even to be Krishna conscious, can be very complex. We're talking about establishing firm communities, but even to establish them requires, you have to bring money, which can be quite complicated. Then we bring people into the community and they come with all their mental complications. So we can't avoid complication altogether. We may think, okay, I'll just go and live in the forest, but then we're alone with our own mind, which is not very simple. So this non-simplicity, it is the antithesis of Krishna consciousness, the opposite, you can say. Mentally and physically, we should be down to the minimum. Whatever we need. Yavat artha prayojanam, Srila Prabhupada often used to say. I don't know where it's from, but Prabhupada often used to say. We should accept as much as we need. And that's all. Not anything more. There is a narration of... who is that? Govinda Ghosh, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took prasad with him. And then after the meal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked for some haritaki. And Govinda Ghosh, I believe it was, had it in storage. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you shouldn't keep a storage. Shouldn't keep stock. You should only keep enough for one day. No. Not his personal servant, Govinda. Is Govinda Ghosh? You're nodding your head, Keshavananda. Is Govinda Ghosh? Is that in Bhakti Ratnakar? Yeah. That's described. So how much? Well, that's the pure Brahmins would live like that. They would, even the householders, they would accept as much as they need, only for one day. Although Srila Prabhupada also did say the ideal example of Rupa Goswami is to keep 25% of your income for the household members. So it's not a strict rule that you can't have anything. But the idea is that anything you don't need, don't have it. There are millions of things we might need. Oh, why don't we keep that? That might come in useful. And this way we collect so much junk. So first of all, we have to see what we need. And if we start to live simply, we might be surprised how simply we can live and how little we need, actually. The modern idea is that we need so many things. Even for people to exercise at home, they sell these big machines which cost so much money. You don't need anything. You can exercise. Anyway, the idea of exercise only comes when people live the modern, indolent way of life. But you don't need a machine. You can run on the spot without it. Of course, the machine is supposed to measure your heartbeat and all these things. But you don't need all those things. Anyway, keep simple. Actually, I have a lot more to say about this, but another time. Otherwise, this basic point: if we're maintaining desires to have more and more things, it's a great burden. It presses us down and impedes our advancement. There's this story given in an early Back to Godhead magazine. Early means early in the 1960s, which was written by Hanuman Prasad Poda. Srila Prabhupada had him write articles in Back to Godhead. We often used to do dramas on this story. The story is there are two sides of a river. On one side of the river, people are living very happily, very peacefully, very nicely. And on the other side, there are people who they carry big stones around with them all the time. And someone is considered more prestigious if he carries more stones. And sometimes the people on the stone-carrying side, they look at the people on the other side, and they look and see how happy they are. Whereas on the stone-carrying side, they're all miserable. And sometimes the people say, people on the happy side, they say, why don't you come and join us? How can I join? I'll drown in the river. If I try to cross, I'll drown in the river. Then you throw away your stones, then you can easily cross. How can I throw away my stones? The whole purpose of life is to carry more and more stones, and you're saying to throw it away. So the purport is clear. We're all carrying material attachments. And if we're invited, come to Vaikuntha, cross the Vaitarani River. But I have all these material attachments. I can't give them up. You can give them. They are your obstacle. The attachment to them is what stops you going to be happy. It's a good analogy. So this simplicity is required. We may think, well, I'm a grihastha and I can't help but live in a complex way. Well, there is a solution. There is a major, not a total solution, but it is a very big step to becoming simple in all respects. Sharalata, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said this. the hallmark of a devotee. So it's very difficult to get that as long as we're living a very complex life. And even if we think, well, my life is very simple. I get up in the morning, I chant my rounds, I go to work, I come back. But even that, there may be some devotees whose life is fairly simple, even living in the cities. It used to be recommended for Grihastha devotees in India, get a job in a government college teaching, and it's simple. It's limited hours, but now even the government colleges, it's become squeezing the last drops of blood out of you. So you might be able to find some profession. Previously, to do business like a cloth business, you could live quite simply. Because you'd go to work in the morning, go to the shop, which usually means just walk down the stairs. Your home is above it. And you sit in the shop for some time. And at midday you close the shop and you go and take prasad and take a little rest. In the evening you open again. And then you close it. And you have enough income because all the cloth shops are in one area of town. And they all open and close at the same time. So it's not that you're going to get extra business if you open at another time. And everyone works at those times. There's no big competition among the merchants. But then someone starts to think, well, let me open up longer, then I'll get more business. And then the others also have to open longer. And so now the shops are open for 12 hours a day. So it used to be that one could live simply doing cloth business is straightforward. You buy wholesale and you sell retail. Selling saris and dhotis and things like that. It used to be very simple, but now everything's very complicated. So anyway, it is possible to live relatively simply in the city, depending on one's job, whatever it may be. But most jobs are very complex, squeezing you. Even if you have your own business, you're squeezed by the competition. And life itself is very, very complex. You have to have big locks on the doors, and your children, you have to send them to school, and you have to see which school is going to be the best. They're all bad, but you have to see which is the best of the worst. And life is very complex. So one major solution, not complete solution, because we still have to deal with our own complex minds, but major help in this regard is to live with devotees, very simply, farm communities, rising early in the morning. Recently in Delhi, I was speaking about this, and after the class, there were maybe about 70 devotees present, mostly grihasthas. And I asked them, I said, I'm not to blame you, but just to see, how many of you rise daily at 4 o'clock, by 4 o'clock in the morning? And two hands went up. They were older, retired people. I said, I'm just, because I'd been speaking about this, and then one devotee said, well, you know, how practical it is, we're living in the city. And I just said, well, how many of you rise regularly at 4 o'clock in the morning? I said, no, none of them. None of them who are, why? Well, just life is like that. They have to work late, and then you come back late. So I said, the beginning of, sometimes I ask this question, it's a bit of a trick question. What is the beginning of spiritual life? And someone may say chanting Hare Krishna, someone may say associating with devotees. I say getting up by 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the beginning every day, rising early. But most of our devotees are unable to do it because of the situation they're in. So that facility is there for those who will accept this way of life. As a grihastha, you can rise early, have a full morning program, which no grihasthas do. I believe there's in the ISKCON law that any grihastha who wants to be initiated, they're supposed to have a full morning program. But it's a ridiculous law, which because no one, then none should get initiated, because no one does it. Hardly. It's full morning program, same as in the temple. But then you can do it if you're living in the farm community. A full morning program. Or it may be adjusted if you have to go out to the fields early before it gets hot. Then at midday you can have satsang. And evening. So simplicity is required. You may say, I can't do it because I'm a grihastha. But then, if you can't do it, for whatever reason, it is going to impede our spiritual advancement. Therefore, all the grihastha devotees should seriously consider, you're not rejected or considered bogus if you don't do it, but you should seriously consider making this move whereby you can be in association of devotees who are dedicated to Krishna consciousness. You can have a full morning program, no unnecessary accumulation of different things. There is, in city life also, it's possible to maintain. Some devotees are doing by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. That's another way to live in the city, and just whatever little income you get, you can do. Some of them in South India discovered some pictures which you can buy for 30 rupees and sell for 100 rupees. So they're making a good profit on that, but that's not so very good. Pictures, Balaji pictures, easy money. Easy money is not good for spiritual life. Anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. Any question about this, please? No. All right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.